all of his promises have been fulfilled. And how have they been fulfilled for you? Through God walking into the room.
Pastor Hans Feeney speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Through Jesus coming to you with his flesh and his blood, and God bringing all of his glory into your presence, even though it's hidden from your eyes, and declaring to you, you are now mine. You are not a failure. You are not a sinner. You are not lost or condemned. You are my beloved brother, purchased through the flesh and the blood that are now feeding you. God has come into the room.
You can listen to Pastor Hans Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Lord's Supper, on a recording from our 2019 Making the Case Conference. For a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300, we'll send you a conference audio recording and a recording of the hymns of the day for the Advent and Christmas seasons featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Order today at issuesetc.org.
I, Ava, wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website.
With our ceremony details on it.
And I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website.
Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
No, I do!
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
That's a wedding company commercial that's at the center of a controversy, including now the Hallmark Channel. There's Chick-fil-A. There's all sorts of other companies that have drawn the ire of the LGBTQ mob. Now it's the Hallmark Channel. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the LGBTQ mob and the Hallmark Channel, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled, For the LGBTQ Mob, Lesbian Ads on the Hallmark Channel Are Just the Beginning. Hans, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Why do people tune in this time of the year to the Hallmark Channel?
I think probably mostly because the movies are relatively low maintenance and reliable. So I think the kind of the appeal of them is that there's a lot going on around the holidays. You know, you have a lot of cleaning to do, a lot of presents to wrap, a lot of laundry to do and stuff like that. And I think the appeal is you can throw something on the TV to kind of halfway pay attention to. You know exactly how the plot's going to go. She's going to meet the guy. They're not going to like each other at first. Then they're going to start to like each other. Then there's, she's going to help him rediscover his love of Christmas. And then something's going to happen towards the end. And then with 3 minutes left, you know, they're going to kiss beneath the town square at midnight and everything will be great. So they're very reliable in that sense. You don't really have to pay attention to them. If you miss 20 minutes of it, getting distracted, tending to your kids or whatever it is, it's not a problem at all. But even more to the point, I think what is appealing to them is that it's just kind of one of the last refuges of kind of clean, at least outwardly wholesome material that you can watch. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, if your kids come in the room, you don't have to worry about them hearing words you don't want them hearing or seeing people, you know, murdered or taking their clothes off, kind of things of that nature. You don't need to worry about that stuff. And you don't feel like you're just kind of getting a break from so much of the rest of media, which so much of the rest of the TV shows and films that are out there, which, you know, oftentimes tend to be profoundly cynical. They tend to be profoundly vile and filled with all kinds of objectionable material. And people have this, you know, love of creating stories that are really gritty and kind of dirty and grimy because they're somehow, you know, representative of true life. And I think it's not for people enjoy just being able to kind of take a break from that and watch something where there's always a happy ending, where the characters are fairly one-dimensional because they're supposed to represent things that are good, and where you don't have your worldview challenge, where you don't have to kind of sift through a bunch of things you don't agree with in order to try to find some appreciation for, you know, the artistic story. It's just a much simpler thing. People aren't doing things that you don't approve of morally, and you get to see a happy ending.
So how does the Zola commercial enter, exit, then re-enter the picture here?
So, yeah, this is apparently a commercial that started airing on the Hallmark Channel. There were a number of people that complained about it, and a group called 1 Million Moms, which is part of the American Family Association, started really pressuring Hallmark to remove the commercial from their lineup. Basically saying, you know, this is, you know, this is kind of the last place we have where this stuff doesn't show up. So please don't let this stuff show up, you know, in kind of the only spot we have left. And so Hallmark initially agreed, sort of recognizing, you know, that they're kind of the only game in town for appealing to this sort of, you know, morally conservative, at least outwardly Christian demographic. So they removed the ad from their schedule, and then once it was removed, the gay and lesbian whatever the name of the group is, GLAAD, I forget what, everything that the ad that the acronym stands for, they started harping on Hallmark for this. A bunch of celebrities, Ellen DeGeneres and people, other people of that nature, started criticizing Hallmark for this. There was a hashtag on Twitter that you should boycott the Hallmark channel, and so there was, you know, bad press and pressure coming from that direction, and then the CEO of Hallmark reversed course. He said it was the wrong decision to make, apologized for making the wrong decision, made sure to point out that Hallmark has always been considered to be a very LGBT-friendly organization, and then, you know, went on to basically say, we're going to make sure that we're partnering with GLAAD going forward to best represent LGBT people across all of our platforms. So in other words, as I think I say in the article, it's just to me is sort of a funny thing where gay and lesbian folks are the most overrepresented demographic on TV in terms of how many characters you can find who are a part of that demographic versus how many people in the country or in the world actually are a part of that. You know, there's, for example, far more overly represented than Christians are, who are greatly underrepresented. And yet here, kind of in this last little pocket where they hadn't managed to overrepresent themselves, insisting that they have to be present and that Christians and morally conservative people who see homosexuality as wrong and gay marriage just something not to be lauded, and they simply say you are not allowed to have a space where you are free to think that, where you feel welcome thinking that. We're going to take this kind of this last sort of pocket of that is the Hallmark Christmas movies away from you.
So I will play the CEO of the Hallmark Channel, and you respond to me. I'm going to say, look, this is really no big deal, a PR misstep, but we'll include a couple gay or lesbian characters in a cross-section of our upcoming productions. We'll make sure that they get to, you know, the funny lines and the enough screen time, and we'll let these commercials on here within reason, and that will be enough to satisfy the LGBTQ lobby. How do you respond?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not going to be enough, because the problem with this whole sort of cultural battle is that it's not simply a matter of saying, well, we all want our own space. We all want to kind of have our own nooks and our own niches. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word correctly. A niche, I think, is pronounced. However you want to view it. So you know, the issue is not. It's not that you know, that 1 million moms. And maybe they do this. I don't know. But it certainly doesn't seem to me that there's a large group of conservative Christians saying, you know, look, there's this whole section of gay and lesbian movies on Netflix. We want these off of this platform. It's not as though they're kind of coming into other areas and saying, you know, there's no room for you here. Rather, they're simply saying, we have just one spot left where we don't have to deal with that stuff, which is the Hallmark channel. So please don't kind of encroach on this territory. Well, but the problem is that from the perspective of the other side, from the perspective of the LGBTQRST crowd, you know, the thing is, until you are accepted as freely and without complaint as a heterosexual couple, until your romantic comedy centering around two gay characters are equally welcome in every venue, then you haven't achieved the sense of equality that you're trying to achieve. Until you have basically forced everyone to agree that this is something good that they cherish, that they want to be a part in, then they're not going to be happy. So even if you are to include more LGBT characters in these films, for example, until they're given center stage, until they're given the lead roles, until they're the ones, you know, kissing under the town square with 3 minutes left at the end of the movie, then you haven't achieved equality. So you're not going. This is not a crowd that's going to be pacified by basically giving kind of supporting roles and comic relief. It's a crowd that's going to say, we are not equal until we are given equal standing. And I think this is kind of an important point, even if the market doesn't demand it. I think this is what is so sort of bizarre about this, and what was so strange about Hallmark caving, is that there just simply isn't a strong demand for cutesy, morally conservative stories about romance between gay characters. There's just not a demand for that. And yet, despite the fact that the market isn't crying out for it, you'll end up seeing the gay lobby trying to sort of create that, trying to just insist that someone on the supply end of things simply create that type of media, even if nobody wants it, because that's what they need in order to be equal. So it's sort of this odd thing of, we're going to force you to create media and to make room for us in spots where we don't even particularly want to be.
We're talking with Pastor Hans Feeney about the LGBTQ mob and the Hallmark Channel. He's senior contributor to The Federalist. When we come back, will that even be enough? Will it be enough to have a movie or two featuring two women who fall in love under the Christmas tree? Stay tuned. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 11 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2019, we're $57,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Give the gift of time this Christmas with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Call toll-free 1-866-827-0062 or visit thecleaningauthority.com. A happy wife is a happy life. A Christmas gift certificate from your favorite house cleaning service, The Cleaning Authority, 866-827-0062 or thecleaningauthority.com.
Folks, there are a few places where the LGBTQ mob has not made inroads. One of them is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's a children's book. It's called Angel, Angel, What Do You See? It follows the story of Christmas through each one of the characters that are featured in the Nativity saga that we find in Holy Scripture. It's for kids ages 2 through 7. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Angel, Angel, What Do You See? For a child, grandchild, godchild of yours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Hans, I'm wondering, and here I'm being somewhat cynical, if even having a kind of a gay version of the Hallmark movie, where two men or two women meet, fall in love, get a golden retriever and kiss under the mistletoe at the end of the movie is going to be enough.
No, I don't think it will. I mean, I think that what's always happening in these situations is whenever you're trying to kind of force people into your worldview and force people to bless whatever it is that you're doing, at least in the vast majority of cases, whether it's related to homosexuality or really any other issue, what's actually happening is that people are being motivated by a bad conscience. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to silence the voice of their own conscience by silencing the people who are still speaking the words that make them have to deal with their own sins. You know, so this is why it is that, you know, in the trajectory of the LGBT movement hasn't been, okay, great, we got gay marriage, now we're done. But it has been to try to manufacture discrimination where there really isn't. So where you get to the, you know, where you see this, for example, especially in the transgender issues, where you have things like people coming up with terms like dead naming, which is when you use the name that someone cast aside when they adopted a new gender identity, you know, or the evil of using the wrong pronouns for someone, pronouns that correspond with their biological sex rather than with their gender identity. So, and the whole point with that is I can't be equal until I can live equally at peace with who I am, which is just sort of an absurd notion because we don't all have the same sins. We don't all have the same consciences. None of those things are the same. But obviously what people are trying to have happen there is they can't find peace in life. They can't find a sense of contentment. They can't, whatever their conception of God is, they worry that they're not at peace with God. And so they need to basically force everyone else to play along with them. But there's kind of only so far that people can really play along. So, you know, I think going back, you know, to the example of movies, for example, that, you know, people are fine with, okay, well, you have the character's best friend who's, you know, sort of the quirky gay guy who's comic relief, and that doesn't bother folks, and they're kind of fine with that. But the point is, if you try to put those people into the, you know, into the main category of the romantic leads, you try and have a gay couple as the romantic lead, most audiences just are going to say that's not really something that I'm terribly interested in watching. That's, you know, that's for a gay audience. It's not particularly for me. It's not a story I can identify with, which is why it is that those movies aren't, you know, made at least in kind of a big scale, you know, kind of way. And I think this is likewise why you see this push being made into, you know, you're hearing the left now talk about stripping churches of their tax exempt status if they're refusing to get on board with gay marriage and things of that nature. So the whole point is you guys are still refusing to kind of bend the knee, and you guys are still refusing to speak the words that will play along with this illusion where we don't have to feel bad about what we're doing and who we are and so on. And because of that, you guys need to be punished. We need to take away from you every single platform you have where any vestige of Christian morality is present. And I do think that's, you know, so when it comes to, you know, avenues like the Hallmark Christmas Channel. So, I mean, there's nothing doctrinally in these movies that's Christian. They're, you know, people aren't going to church. They're not, you know, they're not saving congregations. They're not, you know, reading the Luke 2 narrative to precocious little girls in the movies, things of that nature. There's no mention of Jesus in this stuff. So in a theological sense, they're not Christian, but they're movies that are rooted in kind of reflecting Christian moralities about sexuality, about, you know, just what it means to be male and masculine. And, you know, the guys are wearing flannel shirts and working hard, and they love, you know, puppies and care for the poor, and the women, you know, leave behind, you know, that high stress job in the city where they're just living for themselves, and they opt instead to choose a life of family and of serving other people. And that stuff is, you know, born out of holding to Christian beliefs about what it is that life should be. And I think what happens is that you have kind of the gay lobby come along and they say, well, that stuff reeks of Christianity. That reeks of the stuff that says that what we're doing is wrong. So you're not allowed to have that anymore. We're going to take that over. We're going to use our power in government, our power in the media to just simply, you know, force the people at the Hallmark Channel to abide by our ideology. And that's not going to stop just in media. This is a fight that is, you know, moving its way pretty swiftly towards the steps of the church door. And of course the church is the source of that stuff. You know, to whatever extent Hallmark movies are Christian, you don't kill you don't kill the beast by claiming Hallmark Christmas movies. You have to actually get to the church itself from the perspective of these folks in order to do that. And so that's, you know, why we should certainly expect that that's the direction all of these things are going to keep going in the future.
Then with only a minute here, Hans, J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter movies, recently tweeted in favor of a woman researcher who lost her job because she said that gender is real, that the binary is a reality, and she's been catching a lot of heat for it. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, I think she said biological sex is real. So the whole point being that being male or female is in fact a biological distinction. It's not just simply what it is that you think it is in your heart, but there's an actual real biological scientific component to it. And of course, that flies in the face of the current transgender orthodoxy. Well, of course, what's so strange about this, though, is that if you're saying, for example, well, trans women really are women, and you ask the question, well, then what is a woman? The problem with the trans movement is there's no way to answer that question, because a woman is anything that a person conceives herself to be, regardless of biology, regardless of anything else. And so it's just this kind of amorphous blob of, I think in the end, people just kind of coveting the performative speech of God, where God can create things out into existence just simply by speaking them. I really think in a lot of ways that's what motivates the trans movement, is it's an attempt to give yourself a good conscience and find peace in this life by simply speaking this reality into existence. And whenever anyone won't play along with that, they are to be punished.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled "For the LGBTQ Mob, Lesbian Ads on the Hallmark Channel Are Just the Beginning." You'll find a link to it and to Lutheran Satire on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Netflix film called Marriage Story with Suzanne Venker, and we'll get a movie review of an old one, a really old one, It's a Wonderful Life with Pastor Ted Geese.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.